This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
What's up, guys? I'm going to do this podcast. My name is Salman Ali, at Salman Ali NBA on Twitter, here joined by Leekon Bijani, at
Rockets underscore Insider on Twitter. What's up, man? How you
doing? This is the first time we're recording inside the Bally's Toyota Center this season. I'm pretty excited to get this thing going. Rockets record a quality win tonight over the Golden State Warriors, a depleted Golden State Warriors.
Just like the quality of this podcast, by the way.
A miserable Golden State Warriors that did not have Draymond Green, did not have Stephen Curry, did not have Klay Thompson, but they did have Eric Pascal.
I think you mischaracterized the Warriors here. You said Golden State Warriors. I think this was a Santa Cruz Warriors Rockets play tonight.
Yeah, this is a bad basketball team, and we've seen a lot of bad basketball teams, but this is like...
How they beat the Blazers, man? I didn't watch that game. I usually watch League Pass. I did not watch that game. I'm shocked.
Do you remember the Charlotte Bobcats? Not the Hornets, the Bobcats.
Gerald, what's his name?
Gerald Wallace.
Wallace days.
That's how bad this team is.
Oh, come on. I wouldn't say that.
This team is terrible.
If the roster doesn't come back healthy, I think.
This team is not going to crack 34 wins. I'd be surprised if they crack 30. This team is terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And I'm not even saying it's a bad thing. They're missing Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, and Draymond Green. Like, that they should be terrible.
Yo, man, they're gonna play the Rockets on Christmas. I'm gonna hold you to this if they lose.
This is why you have to wait at least a little bit longer before you schedule that game.
The Christmas games, you think? You think they should flex like Sunday Night Football, where it's like a couple weeks in advance they make a decision? So maybe what you do is for the Christmas games, you have a backup game.
What I would say is
you have games on Christmas Eve and Christmas.
Right.
Or the 23rd, on the 23rd and 25th, and those days are blocked off. And a few weeks before Christmas comes, you make a decision on based off what will be your marquee matchups on Christmas.
That's a little inconvenient for these arenas, though, aren't they? Isn't it? Because like these guys have to plan for these teams to come.
I get it. But I mean, how many people are having concerts or different sporting events?
It's not just that. It's the travel schedule. It's the
good point.
It's the
right.
Everybody has to get everything. I feel like they should have like one game on Christmas Day that's like planning for injury. That's non-televised. It's a League Pass game. And if something like this ends up happening, they can flex that game onto.
Interesting.
Okay. That way, if you're a League Pass guy, you get one extra game on Christmas Day. It's like a little reward for being a League Pass subscriber. So you get all the national slate games, and you get one extra game if you're a League Pass subscriber.
I've thought about that. That's very interesting. I never thought about that theory before.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's because, first of all, the amount of trash Christmas Day games we've had the past few years have been bad. We're getting off topic. The Rockets won a basketball game tonight.
Wow, that's rare.
By multiple points, not just one, not 159-158. They won a quality basketball game tonight, a game that they were supposed to win. They came in here and they won that game. They looked like they got some stuff together defensively, particularly in the second and third quarter. Started to flame out a little bit in the fourth quarter, but there's, you know, it's a work in progress. I acknowledge that they're not all the way there yet, but this was a major step. This is like the fact that they had two quality wins back to back, the win in Memphis and this game, I think it's an encouraging sign of your Rockets fans, especially off that Miami game. Good God, that Miami game is I talked about it on my last podcast, of course. That was their most embarrassing loss.
You know, honestly, I'll be honest
with you,
history. There's one game I haven't watched this season. Actually, there's two. But I watched that game after because I went to game seven. But one game I did not watch at all because I was just really busy was that Miami game.
That Miami game was that. Was
and
bad.
I'm not planning to go watch that again. It's a waste of my time, it looks like, from the way they play.
Well, you should go back and watch that first quarter because that first quarter in particular, they got outscored 46-16 or something.
Wow.
Yeah, it was bad. It was. I might be misconstruing. It might be 46-14, mm-hmm. but it was somewhere around that range. They got killed, absolutely killed on back cuts. They were closing guys out. They, like, and, James know, Harden it's looked
one
ridiculous.
Thing, it's one thing on back cuts, you know, to be beaten a couple times. But when your star guys, the guys who beat their memes of playing horrendous defense, are the ones who are repeating that same thing now, that's not a good sign.
Harden has picked it up ever since the second half of that Memphis game, because that first half of the Memphis game was bad. Like he continued his Miami habits.
Well, if you're looking at the Memphis game and you're looking at tonight's game, I think where you saw Harden especially pick up his intensity was when teams started attacking him in the post. You saw Pascal the first time he
attacked.
You're
talking about when Eric Pascal kind of motioned to the bench and called James Harden food. You're talking about that.
You know what's funny? He said that, but there was a post up before that one that he got stripped by Harden. And so what I'm trying to say is, I get it. You're a rookie, trying to get amped up, trying to hype your team up, completely fine, national TV game. But he stripped you that possession before.
Yeah, and Harden had three blocks and three steals tonight. Like, he did a pretty good job.
It's a good point. People will say, well, Salman Ali, like, steals don't mean anything, you know, you can suck at deep. But the way James plays,
when you have blocks and steals, That's a sign of an active defensive game. I completely agree with people who say like steals aren't everything. Yeah, there are players in the league that average two steals per game that gamble like crazy. But when you're doing both, like if you're getting like Robert Covington level numbers on a random night, like that's I think I put more weight into that. And I thought Harden did really well tonight. Over for the season, again, he's been shaky, and I've documented it on Twitter. I've documented it in my work. Like that he's been shaky, but I thought tonight was a big step up for the team because, like, again, when you have a loss like that in Miami, I can't stress how embarrassing that was for the Rockets. Like, you have to come out and punch your next opponent in the mouth. And they didn't exactly do that to Memphis, but they did that here against Golden State. And their shooting struggles are coming back, which has been a big storyline for the Rockets. The shooting disparity between them and opposing teams, that's starting to level out. They're starting to shoot the ball better. Opposing teams are starting to shoot the ball worse. And a big thing that I've noticed is that they're allowing less three-pointers, which is a big indicator of three-point defense. That's starting to correct itself. Some positive signs if you're the Rockets. I think this is a quality win. I know it's a bad. We spent the first 3 minutes talking about how bad this Warriors team is, but this was a good team. Like you were expected to beat a team, and you beat a team. Baby steps, right? Like you started off the season so shaky. I don't want to say you started off bad. You started out really shaky. Last season they were bad, but this season they started off like 3-3. They were rocky at points, and two collective wins back-to-back that were, I thought, decent and quality, you know, that I think that's a good sign for the Rockets.
You know, someone, one thing I want to discuss, and this goes into today's win, you know, covering the Rockets the last few years, they've had a veteran group, right? But they've had younger guys in the rotation here and there. I mean, there's been a veteran group, but, you know, that's existed. I think this is the first season for me where I've genuinely noticed them play the vet card a lot. And what I'm saying is,
you're talking about the post game stuff, like where they talk about it, like how old they are.
It's like, oh, you know, this is a vet group. I mean, I get it. And Clint, we asked Clint this.
Clint's comments
like,
in particular
he
were,
said, "Oh, we're the second oldest team in the league." PJ said the same thing. Oh, it's a vet group. You know, James said the same thing. Like, you know, the coach said the same thing about being out of shape. Oh, it's a vet group. I'm trying to like, you know, build these guys up so their legs are more fresh and later in the season. I get it. That completely. But it's very interesting how this is the first time they're saying that, and these guys are another year older. Eric's 31. James is about to hit, you know, he's 30. Yeah. Russ is 31. Clint, I mean, he's still young, but Clint's your young guy, but he's still, you know, getting up there.
Your young guy is 26.
Yeah. PJ Tucker's 34. I mean, like, I get it. They're a veteran team, but they were a veteran team last few years as well, you know? And it's just very interesting to finally hear them say, hey, this is our excuse. We're a vet group. We're taking it easy to go on. And I don't know. just because you're a vet group, does that mean that you show up out of shape and expect gameplay to help you get into shape? I mean, well, I don't know, man.
To their credit, the Japan stuff is real. Like we've seen a lot of NBA teams come back from their Asia trips, like whether it's Japan, India, China. Like when they come back from those trips, that layover, that lag in your body, like that's real. I can sympathize with that. So I'm going to give them like another week to shake that off. But after maybe one or two more games, you figure that rust should be off by now.
You know, I'll tell you, I mean, Twitter has been crazy. Oh my God, I mean, I can only imagine what Instagram and Facebook are like. But Twitter has been incredible. Rockets Twitter has been very active and very vocal about how displeased they are with what's been going on. And I see that point. I see what they're doing. I see what the fans are saying. I personally, and I haven't really tweeted about this much, but I have not been worried. And let me tell you why. The concept of being a veteran group, that's there. But this team has shown that when they need to play defense, when they need to get a stop, when they need to make shots, they can do it. If they put in the effort, they put in the effort on the court, they can do it. It's early in the season. You have guys like Eric and PJ and guys like that who show up when they need to in the playoffs, when they're doing all these different things. I just personally think, and I get it, when you go on a road trip like that, it's the first road trip of the season, you're going to struggle. I saw the Miami loss coming a couple weeks ago. And I was like, oh, they're going to New York? They're going to Miami after that? I mean, come on, man. That's what it is. But at the same time, I get the frustrations. Okay, let's go through it really quickly. Defensively, the effort's not there. And I know Rockets fans are concerned, oh, they need to change things up. Clint can't start, scheme, all this stuff. Scheme is fine. Coaching is fine. They know what to do. It's a matter of, are they going to execute it? The players know. They have to hold themselves accountable. Second thing is offensively, the shooting. I mean, I think Coach has said this best to us when he's like, if you play good defense, your shots will come. Your shots will fall. It's because that's where the energy comes from. You're getting stops. You're getting out in transition. You're getting into the spots you want to. You're freezing it. You're freezing the opposing defense. And I think as they get going, we're going to see that a lot more. That it's okay. It's okay to take a deep breath. Yes, they did not start off well, but they're 4-3 now, 5-3 after tonight. They're getting going. It's only 8 games into the season. Let's not do anything. Because remember, Coach said this to us today too. He said, well, last year we started off, I asked him, what's a good measuring stick for you? Is it 20 games? Is it 25 games? He said, well, last year after 25 games, we were 11-14. So I don't really know.
They can't start like that.
What I'm saying is, yeah. I don't, and to James Harden's credit, if it wasn't for his incredible heroics last season carrying this team, they would not have gone that 42-17 run to end the season. Completely understandable. But what I'm trying to say is, I think he has a point in saying that we can't start the way we did last year. We start a little bit better off this year. We have to look at that and say we can't do that again. But at the same time, you know, I think they're not in as bad of a spot as they were last year.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you look at their offense, they didn't have an identity in the first 10 games of last season. Like they were bad on offense, they were bad on defense.
And you can argue they're struggling to figure that identity now. I think they have one though.
I think with the fast pace, like they put their stamp on the season, like at the beginning, like we're gonna play like this. We're gonna play up tempo basketball. We're gonna run a ton of pick and roll. We're gonna run a ton of isolation. We're gonna still do that. We're gonna have a lot of role players fill in gaps, and we're still gonna play the same style. We're just gonna play it faster. And I think that's obviously resulted in their offensive rating to like top 5 in the NBA right now, I'm sure, after this win. They were top 6 before the game. And last season, I had a hard time figuring out what is this team good at. I know what they're good at. And they have a weakness that they obviously need to improve on, their defense. And until they improve that defense, it's going to be hard for us to seriously consider them title contenders.
You know, some positives I do want to say is, I know Rockets fans are probably trying to grasp onto any positives out there. It's two guys I want to point out, and Coach pointed them out today, Ben McLemore and Daniel House. Those guys...
We're going to have a conversation about Daniel House in a minute, but go ahead, talk about Ben.
So Ben is a very interesting story. He worked all summer
to get an opportunity. He did. Worked all summer to help improve his shot. If you look at the way he's played the last few seasons, you look at this season, his mechanics are much better. He has a quicker shot. If you look at the way he dips the ball, gathers, and everything like that, just pay attention to that next time. It's a much quicker shot. And I think that's where those comparisons between he and Gerald Green come in terms of shot release. I mean, Gerald's still above and beyond, really quick release. But Ben is getting there. He has that trust in his shot. He has that confidence that, you know what, I'm right next to the out-of-bounds line in the corner, but I'm still going to shoot that shot and hopefully make it. I think that's what the Rockets need, and he's been able to do that. Defensively, he has experience playing in Elson Turner system in Memphis, in Sacramento. He's not the best defender. Yeah. Let's be real. He's not. But at the same time, I think when you have somebody who's committed, who's trying to stay within his lane defensively, that's going to get you minutes. And that's what Coach D'Antoni has liked about him. The way the Rockets play defense is it's a very similar scheme to those at home listening. It's a very similar scheme to last season. The biggest thing is that they are switching to advantage, mainly with James Harden and guys at the perimeter. But at the same time, they're trying to switch where they're coming together. It's all about communication and switching as a team. Just because two players are involved at a switch at the top doesn't necessarily mean the three players on the all in the others, wherever they are on the court, are not involved. They are as involved as those two at the top. You're combining the switch. And so I think the way Ben has played, if he continues to make these shots, and as he gets going more, I think you're going to see him get a lot more minutes. And I think these next two games, if Eric Gordon cannot go on Saturday, are going to be a great way for him to continue to earn himself minutes in the rotation. Because he played 30 minutes against Memphis. I don't know how much he played tonight. I don't have that in front of me. But 20, yeah, he's playing. He's getting minutes. And he's showing that, you know what, coach? Pull me in, and even if my shot's not falling, I'm doing the things I need to. I need to sprint in transition. I need to fill the slot. I need to fill the corner. I need to cut when Russ is in isolation. He's doing those small things to get playing time.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Daryl always takes a chance on these kind of guys, these top 10 picks that don't exactly pan out with other teams. He does that every year, and a lot of franchises do this. Daryl's not unique in this. Like this is the training camp tradition. You bring in guys that have kind of potential. You want to see how they work in your system. And this is the first guy that's really worked for them since Daniel House last season, actually. He has a very clear NBA skill set. He's athletic as hell, and he can make 3-point jumpers. And that's all you need to play in this system. That's it. Like he's not exactly the best ball handler. He can ball handle in spurts. He's Gerald Green 2.0. Like that's exactly what he is. He's going to play the exact same minutes that Gerald played last season. He's going to play that same kind of role. Mike trusts him in that same kind of way.
And I think we talk about Mike's trusting him. James Harden trusts him a lot.
Yeah.
You always see those two talking. Their lockers are pretty much next to each other in the locker room. And, you know, I think that trust being there is really important for Ben in terms of him getting playing time and getting shots that he'll get.
And the Rockets really lucked out here because, like, with the Gerald Green injury, like, who could have saw that coming, right? And the fact that Ben kind of slid in seamlessly into their rotation was a real dodged bullet, because if they didn't have Gerald, they'd be screwed. They'd be absolutely screwed because they're lacking on wing depth as it is.
And shooting as it is as well off the bench.
Yeah, and Gerald was going to play a key role for them this season. And thankfully for the Rockets' sake, like, they found their guy early on. They found it before the season even began. So, like, this is kind of the benefit of trying to take risks on these guys. You don't know what's going to happen. Even if you don't have a spot in your rotation, you don't know what's going to happen midseason. You don't know what kind of injuries you might get. So this is the motivation to make these kind of signings, these kind of fringe rotation guys that may not have worked on other teams. Maybe give them a partially guaranteed deal. They'll work out on your team. They fill a very key role for you. He looks like an NBA player. Again, we're 8 games in. I don't want to stamp, like, yes, his career is resurrected, but the early signs are very encouraging.
I mean, it's only taken him 8 games to go from a newcomer to actually being somebody Coach D'Antoni trusts.
Yeah.
And Coach D'Antoni trusts in his small ball lineup, which is something that D'Antoni loves. If he puts you in a small ball lineup, then you have his trust.
Yeah. All right, Elecon, let's take a quick break and pay some bills, and then we'll talk about everybody's favorite Rocket, Daniel House. All right, the holidays are almost here, and you know what that means. Gifts. And what better gift to give the guy in your life than a stylish shirt that fits just right? Unlike most brands, untucked shirts are actually designed to be worn untucked. Untucked shirts always fall at that just right length, no matter his size, so he looks casual and sharp. With more than 50 fit combinations, Untucked shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. Now, I'm not the skinniest guy in the world, but I'm definitely not the biggest. And the problem is when I go to some of these department stores, I feel like I'm picking between those two extremes. Like, even medium doesn't seem to fit quite right. But with Untucked, you'll find when you're shopping on their website, they're going to have a bunch of different sizes for you. And when I ordered my shirt, it fit perfectly, like better than a lot of my department store clothes. And like, I have a weird body type, as I described before, and it managed to fit my frame, my shoulders, my height perfectly well. So it doesn't matter what kind of body type you have, they'll have a shirt that fits you. And that's another great thing about Untucked. So whether you're shopping for the perfect holiday gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untucked is the way to go. Visit Untucked.com and use code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That's UNTUCKIT.com and promo code BLUE for 20% off. Following a team you love in 2019 can be time-consuming. Trying to follow everything that's happening in sports is almost impossible. Scrolling through every app and visiting every website on a daily basis is also impossible. That's why I subscribe to Axios Sports, the best free daily newspaper in the land. Axios Sports is a modern sports page delivered directly to your email inbox. When you sign up for free at sports.axios.com, you'll get the best stories from the NBA and NFL to cricket and ping pong and everything in between. Axios Sports also highlights the most important stats and trends, giving you the ability to stay informed. It's super simple and it's free. Sports.axios.com. Not only will you be caught up, you'll be the friend sharing an amazing link with your buddies. Join the 100,000 sports fans who get caught up on the day before it even happens. And best of all, there's no paywall, no subscription fee, nothing. This is free, curated sports content delivered directly to you. Sign up at sports.axios.com. Again, try it for free 99 at sports.axios.com. Let's talk about Daniel House now, because
MVP of the Rockets so far this
season. I have a column coming out on him in a couple of days, and I've been asking people around the Rockets about him. I talked to Daniel himself.
Okay.
And he is the player on the Rockets that nobody's talking about around the NBA because nobody really knows who he is, but is probably one of their most important, like one of their three most important players this season.
Something for our listeners. You know, I talked to a scout a few weeks ago and just asked about different Rockets guys on the team. And one guy I asked about was Daniel House. It's like, you know, what happened? You know, he got, you know, he shot out of cannon with the Rockets, came in that Wizards game, earned himself some playing time.
It's funny, I asked a scout a similar question to what you're asking. Like, why the Rockets? Why did it not work in Golden State? Why not Washington? Why not Phoenix? Why this particular spot?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did it take so long? Why weren't his skills, like, jumping out of the building? Because when you watch him, they're so apparent.
So athletic.
Yeah, and it's so easy to see that he'd be a positive on the basketball court. And I'm just kind of like, okay, are all these other teams just not watching basketball? Do they not see what I'm seeing? Like, and the scout that I talked to just told me, man, situation's everything. Situation is everything. When you get your role dumbed down for you to what the Rockets want you to do, it can change you like that.
And I'll say what my scouts and I'll say what somebody I talked to at the Rockets said. So the scouts said, you know, sometimes players come in the league and they think it'll be easy.
Yeah.
And teams talk. If one situation does not work out, teams talk and they figure out, hey, you know, he does not have the best reputation with this team. Do I really want to take a chance? Will he really work out? Will he really put in the time? So unfortunately, that played a role. But when he came to the Rockets, and he's really tight with, you know, guys on his team and the coaching staff, he was able to put in the work. He's put in the work a lot this past offseason, and he's been successful. And it's funny that point you made, Salman, when the Rockets were first looking, you know, to bring him in, at that point in time, the Rockets were looking for any wing depth whatsoever. They wanted a guy. They wanted to bring in guys like a Gary Clark kind of player, where it's somebody who can be good defensively, can knock down three-point shots. And it's not, and that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is somebody who can do all that but embrace the role. You have to have the mindset and the maturity to embrace that role, because you're playing on a team with James Harden and at that point Chris Paul, and now you're playing with Russell Westbrook. You have to be able to forfeit the ball and be able to have your shot created for you. And he did that. He earned himself time for that. And now you've seen that transition this season where
And, you know, he's become a good weak side defender. He really has. I mean, he had a couple fouls today, and I asked him about it afterwards. Like, yeah, no, I got to clean that up. You know, I should have just gone straight up. You know, he recognizes that. And he's going to be a very big factor for this team moving forward. And coach is already putting him in as the forward in the small ball lineup. I mean, that's something that you saw with Trevor Ariza and PJ Tucker when they played together.
He is a part of all their key units. All of their favorite lineups.
That starting lineup,
yeah,
with him and PJ and Clint, and then that small ball lineup, I mean, he's been great.
Yeah, and I want to stress this. It doesn't really matter to me or the Rockets. I don't think they care whether he starts or not. He's going to be a part of the core six. It doesn't matter. They'll fit him in.
I think it's better for him to start, and I'll tell you why. And I think Coach said that today, too. He's going to do what's best for the team, and I think he hinted at it. Daniel House will be starting.
Well, I mean, you would like the rebounding presence of Daniel House, right? Like, and you'd want the athleticism. You want the length of Daniel House. At the same time, it doesn't really matter to me because Eric Gordon's going to play the same amount of minutes he does, and Daniel House is going to play the same amount of minutes he does. It doesn't really matter to me because they're going to close with the same lineups they want to anyways. So, I mean, I get something to try a new lineup to try and kickstart Eric Gordon's season, who we'll talk about in a little bit. I don't really care about that. But going back to Daniel House, so I find him so fascinating, and I'm sure a lot of people do. I'm not the only one, because he is by far their best ball handling small forward since Chandler Parsons. It's not even close. We're talking about how good he is defensively. His stuff on the ball, like he has the Euro step and transition down. He has a pump fake and sidestep down. He has a pump fake and drive down. He's super athletic in transition with the basketball. He has a step back down. He's doing all this creative with the basketball in his hands, and that's something that we didn't expect him to do,
you know,
this season. Trust him to do. He doesn't yank him. He keeps him in the game because he's like, yeah, you know what? I like you handling the ball for us.
You know, I thought when the season first started and kind of seeing him a little bit in the summer, what he was going to do was he was going to attack the closeout and find the shooter. I think that was his next step. But he's not only just done that. He's done all those things you've talked about. And I think what's really interesting is there's a couple Rocket sets that they run. It's one of them is called like delay, where they run like a free screen action at the perimeter. And one of them is like a little curl action where, you know, a wing gets the ball and attacks off the curl. Daniel House is a part of both those sets. And that's two sets the Rockets will run a lot. If you watch the way they run, you know, if you know some of the Rockets film terminology that I use, 21 series or in delay, Daniel House is a screener for James Harden. Daniel House is slipping screens. Daniel House is catching and facilitate. Daniel House is catching lead passes from James Harden in transition and running a quick action pick and roll and getting to the paint and finding a shooter. I mean, those things are stuff I did not expect, to be honest with you, but a pleasant surprise for the Rockets to have somebody who is capable of doing that. I think he needs to continue to take next steps, maybe not this season, but as he continues to grow in his career, as somebody who can handle the basketball from end to end. He's still growing his handles, but in being able to handle the basketball is one thing, but handling the basketball and getting to a spot where you can facilitate and pass is another. And I think that's where his next evolution will come. But
and the you way see he's it progressed, in
you'll see it. You'll see him do it. But I think the consistency is the next step, right? Can he continue to be consistent? It's been 8 games, but are we going to see this continue for the rest of the season?
Like you'll see him kick out to a shooter in spurts, right? You'll see him drive, find a guy, find Clint Capella oftentimes for the easy dunk. But you're right, the consistency is key. And the defense is something I wasn't particularly high on him last season. Like I thought a lot of people got ahead of themselves last season with Daniel House's defense. I thought he had a lot of work to do, especially off the ball. He had a lot of work to do. And coming into this season, he's just so reliable for them. Like he's like their utilitarian guy on the team. Like he's their second PJ Tucker in terms of how freaking reliable he is for them. And like the fact that he's hitting like I don't know 40% of his three pointers,
40%,
that's stupid. That's completely stupid.
It was really
his
crazy.
Look at his career numbers.
What is it?
No, I mean like I don't have it on my screen up here. But I'm saying if you look at his career numbers, he is nowhere near the clip he's shooting at now. That is work. That is pure in the gym. I'm gonna get up 100 jumpers before I go to sleep tonight. Work. And he deserves a ton of credit, and it's no secret a lot of Rockets fans are excited about him, but to me, what's most important is, like, the Rockets trust him completely, and they're going to use him a lot. And, like, again, he's going to be their guy. If the Rockets play the Clippers, he's going to be their guy guarding Paul George. Like, PJ's going to guard Kawhi, obviously. He's going to be the guy guarding Paul George. And I think, like, you know, obviously, yeah, I want to
see next week, hopefully, too.
Yeah, I want to see more of it, right? I want to see a lot more of it. But I just think it's really interesting. I think it's really interesting that they're putting him in that position, and they trust him so much. Like, this is the youngest guy that Mike D'Antoni's taken a chance on since Clint Capella. Clint Capella was the last guy he's taken a chance on, and he's taken a chance on Daniel House, and it's worked out brilliantly. A lot of people talk about, you know, Gary Clark. He doesn't get a chance. He doesn't get his opportunity. Gary Clark got his opportunity last year. He showed up in spurts and then faded out. Daniel House has been so consistently there that Mike has had no choice but to play him a ton of minutes. That's the difference between Gary Clark and Daniel House. Daniel House stuck. His consistent play stuck. His ball handling stuck out. His shooting was always there. His defense always there. And his positive, everything about him I find really interesting. I think there's a reason guys like this work out and guys like Gary Clark don't. And I think you know the reasons I'm alluding to, but yeah.
I will say this for our Gary Clark fans listening. I think what Salman is saying, I get what he's saying, but I also don't think this is the last we've seen of Gary Clark.
I think this is the last we see of Gary Clark.
I don't know. I think it was a good opportunity. Gary Clark can earn himself back with a big team up here after a short stint with the Vipers. We'll see.
We'll see. I mean, it's going to take a lot. It is going to take a lot. Let's talk about Eric Gordon before we close things up.
By the way, that's just more so my personal opinion. All right, guys, if you're an aggregator and you're listening to this podcast, do not put out there that Athletic Reporter says Gary Clark is going to get minutes with the Rockets. No. Let's not be crazy here. I'm just saying I would not, you know, cancel out Gary Clark.
We're getting off topic. Let's talk about Eric Gordon. So Eric Gordon, obviously the guy who struggled the most for the Rockets this season, did not play tonight. He had a, what was it, left hamstring soreness. Yeah, he had some sort of injury. Doesn't look like he's in the best sort of shape. At the same time, he kind of killed it in the preseason. Like, he shot really well in the preseason. And he did not start last season particularly well. I just think this is a thing with Clint and Eric, like, going forward. I just think both of these guys take a while to get going. I just think these guys are both slow starters. I think Eric will find his rhythm midseason. I think you know, you're starting to see Clint find his rhythm with the rotation. He had his best game of the season by far: 19 points, 16 rebounds, six blocks.
You talk about Eric. Let me say this about Clint. Clint's a guy that I've been closely following, you know, since, you know, covering the team, and especially this past summer, and just, like, kind of seeing where he's been throughout the offseason. And when we talk at the end of the last season, he's like, I need to be more aggressive. And what the national team, you know, you saw that he was trying to do some different things to start the season. Be honest with you, that aggression that I thought I would see, it wasn't where it needed to be. It needed to be, and the Rockets definitely agree, and Rockets definitely probably agree with that. But I think tonight was the first time where I saw, hey, he's taking the step towards the right direction. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. When you are the focal point of a defense as the rim protector, your body language is the most important thing. And I'll tell you why. Because if your body language is somebody who is not retreating, but is stepping up and active with their hands and step and going into an offensive player, they're going to think twice before they come to you because they're expecting you to be aggressive and block their shot. But if you're retreating, which he still did today a little bit, if you are retreating away from the ball and not being forceful, I get the whole contact thing, but it wasn't even about the contact. It was more so he wasn't asserting himself with aggression defensively. Then you're not going to stand out. And I think for me, I get the whole offensive thing and putbacks and being aggressive there. But for me, for this team to be successful, the Rockets need him to be aggressive as a rim protector
And I think the body language part of it took a big step tonight.
Especially with the new defense they're playing, they're going to need him to be a good rim protector. Because like Daniel House talked about it today, they've changed their defense. Like Mike continues to talk about how they're the same exact defense as they were last. No, they're not. No, they are absolutely...
No,
second half of last season, yeah, they're similar to what they were the second half of last season. But in terms of their defense, like they are not the same defense. Like they're playing more of a drop-back scheme. They're playing Clint closer to the rim. He's having to be their main rim protector. And as we talked about, like for Clint to succeed in this kind of a system, he has to be get better as a rim protector. He's been awesome as a switch defender. We all know he can switch. Everybody in this building knows that switch that Clint can guard guards. Everybody knows that.
This season.
Yeah. Well, in general, like, throughout his whole career, everybody knows this is his special sauce. Like this is what has made him so unique as a defender. What he's been missing his entire career has been his rim protection and his physicality on that end. That's why they've loved Nene these past seasons, because Nene has that. And, you know, you still see it in spurts where, like, you just, like so, for example, tonight, Mike D'Antoni called a challenge. And he got a successful challenge. Warriors won the tip. They came back down. Clint contested the first shot, did not come back in time for the second shot, put back a layup for the Warriors. And Mike D'Antoni was furious. He was out of his seat yelling at Clint and stuff like that. Like, that kind of stuff needs to get cleaned up.
That's where the consistency of the body language I was talking about.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a aggressive player, it's not just about offense and dunking and getting going. It's about being aggressive and forceful defensively. And he had a moment where he put up two Cs. I mean, we can talk about it a different time. That whole two C thing that he does. Whenever he gets a block shot. You saw that?
I don't know. I don't like the hair. I don't know about this two C's thing. This is news to me.
When he put his C's up like this.
Okay.
He was like this. He put two okay. C's. They cross his arms a little
that's
bit.
That's really lame. Okay. But he's got to change the Dennis Schroeder-like hair. Like, it wasn't good on Schroeder. It's not good on him.
The style, man.
What style? Like, does it look good to anybody here? Is it anybody been like, hey, Clint, nice hair? Like, no, nobody says that. Well, whatever. We're getting off topic. But what I'm saying is Clint needs to figure that out because of the way they're playing defense this year. And going back to Eric, it doesn't disappoint me that he's starting off shooting the ball this poorly. It's disappointing to me that he's on point of attack defense. He's just getting blown by. And he's getting beat on some of the same back cuts that James Harden's getting beat on.
He has to be their best perimeter defender. You know why I say he has to be their best? Because ideally, in an ideal situation, yes, you have PJ on the best one-on-one player for the opposing team, but PJ is so good covering everybody else's mistakes on the help side and the weak side that if you can have Eric guard the best perimeter ball handler and have PJ on the weak side covering everything up, that's where they're at their best.
I agree. Like, you're talking about guys like Donovan Mitchell, right? Like, you're talking about when they were playing
Jazz. That's what their defensive scheme against the Jazz is so good, because you have PJ able to show. So when you play defense on the help side,
when you can play free safety like that,
free safety, you have to be able to split the difference, which is basically cover two shooters at once and pick your poison there and do all these different things. PJ can do that, and he can do that really well. And that doesn't mean he's not a good isolation defender. He's great. I mean, he takes that job seriously. But if you can have Eric and PJ both capable of playing one-on-one defense against perimeter ball handlers, that only makes this team so much better, and it makes Clint's job easier as a rim protector.
The Rockets' favorite lineup, like, this is the lineup they want to play in crunch time. They want to play Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Eric Gordon, Daniel House, and PJ Tucker at center. Like, that's their favorite lineup. That's Mike's pet lineup. He plays that every game.
Small ball. Or tiny ball.
He loves that lineup. For that lineup to succeed.
Can we stop saying small ball lineup with the Rockets? It's tiny ball. When your center is 6'5 and your tallest player in that lineup is 6'6, that's not small ball. That's tiny ball.
I don't care. Okay, so.
I'm just aggravated.
Okay,
by
whatever.
That,
so going back to Eric Gordon, for that lineup to succeed, Eric has to be a stronger point of attack defense. Doesn't matter if he's guarding the primary guy. In an ideal situation, I agree with you. Like, you don't have Chris Paul anymore. Eric has to be that guy. So in an ideal situation, he has to be the guy guarding the opposing ball handler, and he has to be the guy being the ideal point of attack defense. And he has not been that this season, and that's my biggest disappointment with him. I think he's going to figure out the shooting stuff. I think he'll get back in shape midseason, whatever. He'll be fine. I'm not worried about all the other stuff. The defense, to me, is troubling. That, like, this is the stuff that he was mocked about in New Orleans, and this is the stuff that kind of went away in Houston, and it's kind of starting to rear its ugly head right now. I don't I'm not worried at all about the shooting. I'm worried about the defense. I think he has to, you mentioned it earlier, he has to be a huge, huge perimeter defender for them this season. Well, I guess that's it. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Follow me on Twitter at Salman Ali NBA. Follow Ali Khan on Twitter at
Rockets_insider. Both of us have some good work coming. I got a great piece coming up. I know a lot of the Rockets fans have a question about the offense. I know that the defense, I get it too, but there's some questions about the offense that I'll hopefully have an answer for you guys very soon.
Yeah, and I have something coming up on Daniel House. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic so you can read that piece, obviously. Don't ask your friend to give you his login. Buy the subscription.
Yo, I've had people come ask me, yo, go to Safari and send me the PDF. You think I'm going to send you a PDF of my article?
Well, you can send it to me, though. I'm kidding. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Subscribe to The Athletic. And yeah, guys, good night.